Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
With Democrats taking control of the House, there's still a lot of debate who will be Speaker of the House. Now, Nancy Pelosi is arguing that it should be her and Congressman Steve Scalise. He's a Republican. He joined Fox News and said, Pelosi, she's earned it. She probably should be Speaker of the House.
Well, I think she will. I mean, if you look, she was their main fundraiser. She was the one out front the whole way through in this election cycle on the Democrat side. And I think she's going to be the leading candidate on the Democrat side to be Speaker. And so, you know, they've got an internal fight. Look, there were a number of Nancy Pelosi's Democrat candidates who ran saying they wouldn't vote for her as Speaker. So that's going to be an interesting test that a lot of people will be watching in January. Will their very first vote as a new member of Congress be to break the word they made to their constituents? That's going to be something they have to deal with.
And regarding new leadership, Congressman Scalise says,
you've been hearing a lot of clamoring for years that, you know, their party's leadership has been the same for a long time. But at the same time, you don't see an emergence of anybody that's got a coalescence of support to topple them. So I think in the end, Nancy Pelosi would be favored to stay on as Speaker. But, you know, I think if they move a very far left agenda in the House, you know, and they're already talking about just harassing the president, impeachment even, that's going to be, I think, a route that the public doesn't want them to go. But they're going to have to make that decision.
The congressman also has a new book out where he talks about what it's been like for him since he was shot in the summer of 2017. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
So hello, this is Joe Peters, and my phone is ringing, so let me take care of that first. You got one of those phones, you turn it over and it stops ringing. That worked. And we're going to do a broadcast today about one of the traditional things that goes on here in Hunterdon County with the Hunterdon County Holiday Tour, and I'm probably not saying it exactly right. So let me introduce my guest. My first guest is
Amy Haas. I'm the co-chair this year of Stanton Holly Trail.
Okay. And Stanton Holly Trail is the name of the tour.
Yes, and it is New Jersey's longest running house tour. This is our 57th year.
Okay. And my other guest is?
I'm Donna Morris, and I'm on the executive board of Holly Trail and chairman of the Champagne Candlelight Tour.
Beautiful. So here's what I'm going to suggest. That microphone's not picking up too well. Why don't I have both of you sit and we'll put this microphone in the middle.
Okay,
I feel better. Sitting closer to you.
It's easier for sure.
So Amy, why don't you say hello again?
Hello, my name is Amy Koss and I'm the co-chair of Stanton Holly Trail.
And this is a tour that happens around Christmas time every year.
It happens the first Saturday of December every year. This is our 57th year, and we are New Jersey's longest-running house tour.
And 57 years without fail it has run?
57 years without fail.
I'm amazed.
We
nothing
actually
happens.
had one day when it snowed, and we postponed it until the following day, but the tour went on.
Good. Good, good, good. I'm just checking that we got the microphone up and working. I think we're in good shape at this point. So let me start by telling you what today's date is. It is the 14th, I believe, 13th of December, November. So let's start all over again. My name is Joe Peters. This is our Hunterdon Radio in downtown Flemington. It is the 13th of November. Can't even get my month straight. It's just a little after 4 o'clock. They asked me to do an intro by playing a commercial and then the weather. I'll do that and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So we do this weather forecast very scientifically. You would think I have a bunch of computers here, but I don't. I take my telephone, I hit the button, and I give you the weather report. Right now it is 45 degrees in downtown Flemington. And Wednesday is going to be a high of 41 with a low of 26. It's going to be 30 overnight tonight. And then Thursday, it's going to be a little bit of rain, high of 33 and a low of 31, rain all day. And then on Friday, 44, rain in the morning, clearing up, and 30 in the afternoon. And for the weekend, it's going to be 48 and 29 at night, 46 and 29 at night, both clear days. So they look pretty good coming up. So we're getting out of, I don't know if we ever had a fall. We sort of went from summer to winter in about 2 weeks flat. And we're getting into the winter months. I mean, I'm actually seeing some places have had snow, like Minneapolis and Chicago, and they're not that far away. So I would think, I shudder at the thought, we're going to have snow one of these days. But we've definitely had frost because my flowers are all dead out on the porch. So I think the seasons are changing. Let me play a few more commercials. We'll be right back.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So that's a little about my background, and I'm going to let the ladies introduce themselves one more time and do a sound check while we're doing that. So it is...
My name is Amy Koss, and I am the co-chair of the 2018 Stanton Holly Trail.
And we also have...
And my name is Donna Morris, and I'm on the executive board of Holly Trail and also chairman of the Candlelight Champagne Tour.
Wow, they both sound interesting. So let's get started. Let's talk a little about your background. You've been doing this how long, Amy?
Well, I started when I was 5 years old. It was very exciting when you were a young lady growing up in Stanton to finally be old enough at five to work on Holly Trail.
Wow.
And the very first jobs were cookie passer. You would stand next to your grandmother or your mom who poured tea for the guests and would hand them a little package of cookies done up in a napkin that we used to put them together the day before, all homemade cookies, which we still do, homemade cookies.
Wow.
In a napkin with a Christmas sticker.
That sounds like a lot of love and a lot of enjoyment. And you've been doing it how many years?
Well, that would reveal my age okay. now, wouldn't it? But let's just say I have progressed through the jobs to make it to the top job here this year.
Oh, wow. I remember Marilyn tells a story when she had her first job was in one of those Hornet Hardouts in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was the coffee lady. So her first job was the coffee lady's daughter. And she would progress up to different levels. So... interesting. Well,
there's a lot of that in Holly Trail.
Absolutely. I am one of many multi-generational families, and in fact, my son works with me now in the dining room, and my mom still works on Holly Trail, and Donna's family is very much the same. She has four generations who have worked on Holly
wow.
Trail.
So what is it you do when you're not doing Holly Trail?
I do a variety of other things. My mom and I have a store in Lambertville called Sojourner. We're an independent jewelry, clothing, and bead store. We
okay.
Have been there since 1982.
Wow.
So that's what I do on my my non-Holly Trail time.
And Donna, how long have you been with Holly Trail?
I've been involved with Holly Trail for a long, long time.
Okay.
My parents' house was on Holly Trail in 1967.
Wow.
And I took a few years off and came back again, and so I've been involved. My mother was involved. My children are involved. Both of my daughters were chairs of Holly Trail, and now my grandchildren are involved.
Isn't that great? And what do you do when you're not doing Holly Trail?
I'm retired, and I do a lot of volunteer work.
Good for you. Who do you volunteer for?
I volunteer. I teach Sunday school. I'm the finance secretary at the Stanton Church,
okay.
and I'm on the board of Meals on Wheels.
Isn't that great? That's great. All jobs that I could see would give you a lot of satisfaction as well.
That they do.
So how many other people involved in Holly Trail besides the two of you?
I would say we have between 100 and 150 volunteers. Holly Trail has a lot of moving parts. There are five homes that are elaborately decorated for Christmas with
right.
handmade ornaments and abundant fresh greens. Each of those homes has their own decorating team. Then there's the Silver Tea, where we serve homemade cookies and tea to all of our guests. That's in a sixth decorated home, and they're all served on beautiful vintage china cups. So there's a whole group of ladies who run that and do the dishwashing. There's a candy house where we have candy for sale, so that's a seventh decorated home. There are bus ambassadors who ride around on the buses between the homes with the guests to make sure that those guests are comfortable. There's a luncheon that we have, so we have a whole crew that prepares the luncheon and serves the luncheon, cleans up from the luncheon. Our local Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are both involved in the trail. We have people who do everything from sanitation to the Holly Dog tent to publicity to what else, Donna? Oh, there's the whole champagne tour.
The whole champagne tour on Friday night, yes.
That has its own committee?
We have a committee, and we have bus ambassadors that help people on and off the luxury limousine buses on Friday evening. And they visit all the five houses and the candy house. And they have a buffet dinner at the Ryland Inn.
Wow. Wow, that's quite extensive. So there are 2 days then. There's Friday and then Saturday?
Friday evening and Saturday.
And Saturday. And how many people can you accommodate?
The Friday evening tour is a very small tour, and that's the idea of it. It's more expensive. It's more of a kind of a tailored experience,
right.
and that's 100 guests. And then Holly Trail during the day, as we call it, the traditional tour,
yeah.
that is up to 1,000 guests. So
wow.
we have 150 tickets left for Saturday's tour. Tickets are by advance sale only.
Okay.
So if people are interested in getting tickets, they can do that through our website, which is stantonhollytrail.org. O-R-G.
And what does it cost for a ticket?
It's $40 for
okay.
the ticket, which includes admission to all the homes, the complimentary silver tea. There's an artisan craft bazaar at the church. There's a musical entertainment at the church as well. People are welcome to stop in the sanctuary and enjoy the live music. And then there is the option to purchase lunch at the church, which is $15.
And then what is the Friday night tour sold out already?
Oh, the Friday night tour
is
sold out. It's sold out about 2.5 weeks after the tickets went on sale.
Wow.
And the tickets for that are $150 a piece.
Okay.
And for that, they get to visit five of the houses in the Candy House, and they get a buffet dinner at the Ryland Inn. And we also have a silent auction at the Ryland Inn with some very interesting gift baskets. And
we have Knicks tickets this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And somebody contributed nicely.
Yes.
So you've got 1,000 people on Saturday. How mm-hmm. many people on Friday night?
We have about 100 people on the candlelight tour.
Okay.
And then we also have a tour for the workers, the people that are working on Saturday and
so
can't
get
around to the to the houses.
So it's just 1,200 people get to see this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And what
yes.
is the benefit of the charity?
It is equally divided between the 100 Medical Center Foundation, specifically for Brightside Adult
okay.
Day Center. The foundation came to us. We've been donating to the foundation for, well,
as long as Holly Trail's been in existence.
Wow.
And we've done many things at the medical center, including a play area in the emergency room. There's been...
We put the original mattresses in the maternity area, and then several years ago, we replaced them all.
Wow.
So the Medical Center Foundation came to us and said that Brightside was an area that was really in need of some special funding.
Right.
Just the way the funding formulas work now, it was more difficult for them to get funding for Brightside, so we are very pleased and honored to be able to help these families who want to keep their older family members at home but need help with them during the day, so they go to Brightside where it's a safe place for them to be. Their activities, with the money we earned last year, they've purchased new furniture, they've done painting, they've put in a handicapped bathroom. There were a lot of physical upgrades that they
okay.
needed to do that we made possible with our $19,000 donation to Brightside last year.
Wow.
And then the other half goes to the Stanton Church for community outreach.
Okay. So this Brightside is not something that you're doing. You're just using your funds to help them get along.
Yes.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to get a ticket, you said there's only 150 left, they've got to go to your website.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give them that website with it one more time at the end. Well, let's give them the website again.
It's StantonHollyTrail.org.
.org. Okay, so now, I understand where Stanton is. That's where the Stanton Country Store is on a corner.
Yes.
And then it sort of meanders over the mountain, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand Stanton.
Yes, it does.
Correctly. And which is the church? Is that the one that's right near the country store?
It's directly across from the country store.
Okay, got it. So that's always, you just feel like this is a place you should slow down, and I think the speed limit does go down there. But I actually sold a little house right across the street there about 2 or 3 years ago and got to know the area rather well. It's typical Hunterdon. It's,
yes.
It's Hunterdon at its best. I'm very involved in both Hunterdon and Somerset County. And Somerset County, I attended their very first diversity board meeting this morning. And Mike, who runs Hunterdon County, does Chris Fallon's job, but in Hunterdon County, said, when I grew up, I was Irish Catholic. And he says, I thought diversity was there were some Polish Catholics, too. He says, now look at where we're at. We in Somerset County, as a matter of fact, Mike McDonough, who is the head of the Raritan Valley Community College, was there, and he said that in effect, we're about 48% Caucasian now in Somerset County in his school. They actually won a Spanish award that it is now an accredited Spanish school. So we're changing, but I think we're changing in Somerset much quicker than we're changing in Hunterdon, but it's happening. I mean, it sort of falls over. What are the changes you've seen over the years? I mean, you guys both grew up here, obviously.
Well, I mean, obviously we welcome everyone
right.
who comes to our community. I think that Stanton is a community that cares for our residents, and I don't think that that's changed. As the residents change over the years, I
right.
think we continue to meld together into a community. The money that Stanton Holly Trail raises that goes to the church is all used for community outreach. It goes to Habitat for Humanity. It goes to Starfish, our local food pantry. It goes to the Hunterdon County Food Pantry here in Flemington.
Right.
We support the Interfaith Hospitality Network.
Wow.
We have a Girl Scout troop that meets at the church, a Boy Scout troop that meets at the church. So I think that we continue to change and diversify as our community does.
It's interesting because when we moved here 20 years ago, we were looking for just a better quality of life, a little more in the country. And we came out, must have came out 10 or 12 times before we really started looking around. And it was back before the boom happened, I think, or maybe right at the beginning of the boom where lots of people came out to Hunterdon County. Now it seems that they said the tide went out, now the tide is coming back. We're not seeing as many people come out. But I bring people in usually between their first and second child to Hunterdon County, and they're typically looking for, they're coming out of Union or Middlesex or even New York, and they're looking for quality of life, a place for the kids to go to school, a place for the kids to grow up and be safe. And I know when I do, people say, what's the real difference between Somerset and Hunterdon? I say, right at county line, they look the same, but Hunterdon gets more and more farmland, bucolic, whatever the right word is. It's really, if you want to turn left at the cows, right at the horses, you want Hunterdon County. There's some of that in Somerset, but Somerset's a much different county. But what we've seen over the last few years is that we've got a little less population, a little fewer kids in school. And last year, for the first time ever, you may not have heard this statistic, we had more deaths than births in Hunterdon County for the first time ever.
Hmm.
So
that's interesting.
The question is, since we've been losing 1.5% each year for the last 5 years of our population, we're at about 127,000, now we're about 124,000. What does this mean? And the answer partially is, well, we've got Unicom coming in, we're bringing people into Exxon. We have other, I had breakfast with John, the mayor, John Higgins, the mayor of Clinton Township a couple of months back, and he said, Joe, we filled up every industrial park coming down Route 22 and on 78. So people are coming back. Businesses are coming back. Just like you can't go into a McDonald's without a help wanted sign, we're out of people. Well, this is good news, and hopefully it keeps going because it's bringing the county back to life where it was atrophying a little bit. I mean, people aren't leaving in great numbers. They're just not coming here. So we've always had some natural attrition, but we always had backfill. The backfill stopped. So people used to come to, like, Route 31 plus about a mile, and that's about as far as they wanted to go. They felt they were getting too far from the rest of the world. Well, now they come up to about Route 287 plus a mile, which is Bridgewater, and that's as far as they want to go. So they're just not coming as far as they used to.
Well, I think Donna and I can both remember when there were more cows in Hunterdon County
oh, yes.
than there were people.
Wow.
That's for sure.
I did Leadership Hunterdon 2 years ago. I went to the Fulper
Farm, sure.
Farms.
One of our last yeah. working dairy farms.
And I think there's only six or seven in Lieutenant mm-hmm. County, and there's none in Somerset County. There's not mm-hmm. a dairy farm left. And I was just so impressed with what these people did. They got up at 5 o'clock and fed the cows and put them out the pasture. And at 6, they went and drove the school buses and drove the kids to school. And got back around 8 and did farm work all day and then reversed the process in the evening. The cows had to be milked twice a day. So they had to milk the cows once in the morning. And then they would work all day. They would put the cows back in the barn. So where we met around 4 o'clock, they were being milk machines, but 113 cows, if I remember right. And then they had to get the kids back off the school bus. And it was just like, this was nonstop, 7 days a week, except they didn't have school buses on the weekends.
Well, that was one of the reasons Holly Trail was started, because Hunterdon County did not have their own hospital. We had no hospital here.
Wow.
We had to go either to Somerset or to the Morristown Memorial Hospital. So one of the primary movers behind the beginning of Holly Trail was to raise funds to build the Hunterdon Medical Center, which they started to build in 1954, I believe.
Building
was ongoing, and when Holly Trail started in 1962, it was to help them complete that project.
Interesting.
And it also was to help rebuild the Stanton Church, which had a fire.
Okay.
So we've always had that dual focus in Holly Trail.
So let's talk about Holly Trail. Marilyn went on it when she first came out here with one of her girlfriends, and she said the thing she couldn't take out of her mind was all of these nice figurines in houses and all of these people with kids walking through. She said, it just seemed to me something is going to get broken. But she said it seemed to flow, and she didn't see any damage while she was there.
Well, I think that our guests are cognizant of the fact that they're visiting a private home. This is not a commercial enterprise. This is an all-volunteer organization where community members have graciously opened their homes for this fundraising opportunity. And I think our guests are cognizant of that, and they're careful when they go through the homes. We ask people not to wear spike heels or high heels of any type because they can damage the floors. We put down floor runners, their hosts or hostesses in every room to answer questions and to, you know, look out for any sort of mishap that might happen.
People are very careful to walk on the runners and not step off.
So it's like people in libraries. I remember once I went and got a library card. I was working up in White Plains, and the controller took me to the library. I signed up for a library. I didn't even ask for identification. Mm-hmm. And I said, they never asked me for identification. I just took a couple of books on tape out. And he says, people that get library cards don't steal.
Right.
And it's sort of the same thing. The quality of people that are coming through, I guess there's an exception there is to everything, but for the most part, the people that are coming through are a type of people that respect what they're doing.
Well, and we do have a mailing list, a list of patrons that come year after year, and we send out invitations early in the fall, and so a lot of our patrons have been coming for years and years.
Oh, wow.
Some more than 20 years.
Wow.
For a number of families or friend groups, this is the kickoff to their Christmas season. They get together, they do Holly Trail, that's their first holiday event because it's early in December, puts everybody in the spirit. And
2 years ago, we had a former Hunterdon County resident come from Florida to come.
Wow.
People come from all over to come back to Holly Trail.
So you said 1,000 people go in the course of a day. How big are the groups as they go out? A school bus load?
It's a school bus load. So 44 people at a time leave the parking lot at Round Valley. And we have two routes, the red route and the green route, of course. So they visit four houses on one and three houses in the other, and they figure eight to the church where they can stop and use the comfort station, have something to eat, listen to the musical respite, enjoy the artisan and craft boutique.
And how long does the tour take?
Well, it can take as long as all day.
Okay.
Or people can get through in several hours.
It really depends.
Like a hop on, hop off, or do you stay with your bus?
You hop on, hop off, and then if you choose to have a sit-down lunch at the church, you're going to extend your tour a little bit. If you choose to grab a hot dog at the Holly Dog tent, your tour will be a little shorter. If you choose not to eat at all, your tour will be even shorter. So you can really control your experiences by the decisions you make during the course of the day. If you sit down and enjoy one of the musical entertainments at the church, you're going to lengthen your day a little bit.
It really sounds nice.
We figure it usually takes people between 20 and 25 minutes to go through each house.
Okay, so 20 to 25 minutes a house and a little time in between. So
yes,
right, for transportation.
You have seven houses. That's 3.5 hours for a few pit stops and whatever.
Right.
What a nice day out, though.
So it is a lovely day out. Holly Trail's hospitality has been legendary. I think that having a nice time, having a good meal, have always been important to the hostesses of Holly Trail, and we've always made the comfort of our guests a priority.
Yeah. And a lot of the fun for Holly Trail is seeing the same patrons over and over again and kind of catching up with them from year to year.
Are they the same houses every year?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. We always have different houses. Sometimes something like the tea house, where you have a certain need in terms of space.
Okay.
We are using the same house for the tea house, but the homes that are decorated that are on the tour, they are different every year. And we have a whole committee of volunteers who go out and look at houses and choose them based on just a number of factors trying to get. Well, Donna, you should talk to this because you're on that committee.
We like to have some old houses, some new houses. large ones and small ones, and a nice variety. But we also have to take into consideration how the traffic route is going to go.
Right.
We usually begin toward the end of January looking at houses. Sometimes we have houses that we weren't able to use the year before, so we'll approach them first. And sometimes we'll ride around and see an interesting house and drop a letter in the mailbox and explain about Holly Trail and see if we have some interest there.
But you'll notice Donna said the end of January, so we work on Holly Trail year-round.
Wow, there's not much of a recess period there.
No, not really.
So do houses repeat every few years if they're popular?
Not every few years, no. I would say at least if we go back to a house a second time, it would be at least 10 years, and there's usually been a change of ownership or some sort of major renovation or redecoration or something like that.
So people can come every year for year after year
and see a different tour every year.
Because each homeowner is given the decorations that were made for their home at the end of the tour, so we don't repeat the decorations either. The decorations are handcrafted for each home. The decorating committees try very hard to craft decorations that are reflective of the homeowner's interests, passions, and tastes.
So the homeowner does nothing but supply a house.
Well, homeowners can be as involved or as uninvolved as they'd like to be. And lots of times we'll have homeowners that were not familiar with Holly Trail and become involved, and then they're workers for years after that.
Wow. We had a homeowner last year who just was very good with tools and liked to do woodworking, and he just got really into Holly Trail, and he built a whole section. He wanted to do a little section where the elves were misbehaving, and so he hung the Christmas tree upside down, and he had built toys, and he built toys correctly, and he built toys wrongly, and it was just adorable, the whole thing, and it was totally, you know, his own creativity coming into play and wanting to participate in Holly Trail.
This is so Hunterdon County. I mean, it's just, I'm sure there are Holly Trails elsewhere, but it's almost like the store windows at Christmas in New York. There's very few of them left. I worked for Macy's in Herald Square, and the guys would tell me they used to bring craftsmen over from Germany and Austria to put those mechanical things together. Mm-hmm. And the whole process died off over time, and now it's more of a fashion show when you go.
Right. Well, we really value our volunteers as an all-volunteer organization. We value those people who commit their time to the cause. I think that that's a reason there are so few house tours in New Jersey or really in the region anymore, because people are so busy, it's so difficult to get volunteers.
So if somebody wanted to volunteer, how would they go about contacting you? What should they do first? Maybe they should go on a tour first.
They should maybe go on the tour first.
Probably would be helpful.
But we're always welcoming volunteers. We meet the first Tuesday of every month at the Stanton Reformed Church at 7:30. And anyone, I think it's a little late now to volunteer for the 2018 tour, but we would love to have anyone who's interested for the 2019 tour.
And then if a house wanted to volunteer, same thing, they should probably go on, see what it's all about.
Yes.
And see if that's something they'd like to do.
Lots of times we encourage potential homeowners to attend the tour so that they can see what they're going to get involved
with. So now you talked about the assortment of houses, but what would make a house stick out like that would work on a Holly? Do you drive down a street one day and say, I think that one's a good one?
Yes, we do.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And you said you have older and newer. I mean, what's the new one? I mean, what's the oldest house you've had and the newest house you've had?
Well, our house is on a 1760 map of Reddington Township, and our home was on the tour in 1978. There's a home on Springtown Road that was built about the same time. It's very unusual. It's called the Roundhouse, the old Laudenschlager house. The Dutch particularly would build the houses with rounded ends so that the devil couldn't hide around the corner.
Okay.
And then what do you suppose the newest house has been?
I'm just trying to think what the newest house is.
We've had things, the new development in the Stanton Ridge Golf Course, okay. You know, those houses,
yeah,
when they were brand new. I think we had some of those on when they were just 2 or 3 years old, once people get kind of settled in their homes.
My house is not an old house, and that was on several years ago.
Wow. And it, when somebody's house is on, do they get a little commemorative plaque, or just to keep the ornaments is enough?
No, we give them a drawing of their home.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, our undying thanks. So they get a handwritten thank you note. And we try to take good care of our homeowners
also. And
they
do get to keep all of the decorations that were made.
And then they also get to go on the tour on Friday night if they would like to.
I see.
And so Friday night is kind of a magical time to see the houses, because all the candles are lit and the luminaries are lining the driveways. It's really a very lovely way to see the tour.
Wow, I can imagine. How many people are on this committee again?
There are about 150
of us.
But the core group that does it, the executive board, is 12 members.
Okay.
So we are the core, and then there are probably, I would say, 40 chairs of different committees who
wow.
work throughout the year to get their committees together. And the house decorating committees start in July crafting the ornaments and the decorations for the homes. And each of those five chairmen probably have 10 to 15 members of their committee. So it just kind of keeps working its way out, getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And nothing gets used over again. Every year is a new start. And the people that get to keep the ornaments have a keepsake forever, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Somebody wrote on our Facebook page 2 days ago from North Carolina. She said that one of her fondest memories was when they lived in Reddington and their house was on Holly Trail. And she said she still uses many of the ornaments. This is 15 years later. And she says it just brings back such happy memories of that time in Reddington and Holly Trail.
I have ornaments on my tree from various different houses that I've worked on.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner will say, why don't you take an ornament home? So my tree has lots of memories on it.
Lots of memories. We haven't done it on ours. We haven't put our tree up in quite a few years, but we have a lot of memory stuff too. So I can empathize with you. So as a group, 150 people, starting in January for a project that's going to be 10, 11 months away, there's got to be a lot of gratification out of it as well. I mean, people must love doing this. Is there anybody that don't want to go? Or is everybody up and running?
They do. And I think just the joy of Holly Trail Day and seeing our guests' enjoyment is really what keeps you going through the year. Because sometimes the going gets tough, but the tough keep going.
Okay, so there's got to be some expenses along the way. I imagine you have a budget, and some of what the $40 goes to is running the tour.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because the bus transportation between the homes is probably one of our major expenses. Of course, like any organization, we have to carry insurance.
Right.
There is expenses involved with, everything.
We have to provide restroom facilities for the people, and that's an expense.
The house chair people get budgets, but they're encouraged to be creative and to use found objects.
Right.
And I know there's some sort of cork project going on this year, because we were all asked to save corks. We've been asked
to drink a lot.
little jars. Another house chair must be doing something with tin cans. We were asked to save tin cans. So it's interesting, the things you're asked to save and then to go on the tour and to be able to see those things come to fruition.
We actually needed to use pallets for one of the decorations in the house I'm working on, so you just never know what's going to be needed.
I know one year there was a beautiful wreath that was made all out of toilet paper rolls that had been squished to look into the shape of a leaf. And then they had been painted green, and there was a little red ball in some of them, so it looked like a holly wreath, but it was all made out of used toilet paper rolls.
Wow.
So it was...
The toilet paper rolls come in real handy for a lot of different decorations.
I remember as a kid, we had five kids, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, all the other things they were in, and we were forever saving something. Seems like Campbell labels were a biggie, I don't know what they got to pay.
Oh, that was for fundraising for school.
But I can remember coffee cans and toilet paper, spindles. And
or the Reader's Digest turned down and turned into a Christmas tree.
That's right.
2 years ago, there was a house that did a lot of interesting things with old sheet music. There were angels made out of, the homeowner was very interested in music.
Okay.
And was a musician. So there were angels made out of sheet music and other decorations made out of the sheet music.
Very interesting trees made out of the sheet music.
So did the homeowner stay home while people go through, or do you watch the house for them?
The homeowners go on Friday night, so we provide hosts and hostesses or ask them to bring in their friends for Friday night so they can go on the tour. And then they stay home usually Saturday, and enjoy showing off their home.
Do they dress up in a old Christmas fair too?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Wow. So talk about some of the ornaments that are made for a house. Are they made out of like porcelain or wood or... You said all sorts of things.
I'm actually in the process of making eggs made out of wood.
Wow. Sounds like an Easter thing more than a Christmas thing.
Well, it's going to be in the kitchen.
Okay.
Well, I know one year my mom has been worked on a number of decorating committees, and all the ladies had to wear the legs pantyhose because they wanted the halves of the legs. And the homeowner had spent quite a bit of time in China. So all of the eggs were painted to look like Chinese ladies, and they were all holding handmade fans. I know one year we took silk flowers and turned them into all sorts of different fairies with clothespins as a base on a tree. My mom's very into dolls and dollhouses, so the year our house was on Holly Trail, she made furniture, tiny miniature furniture, and our entire tree was decorated in miniature furniture. I know there was a whole tree done in cork horses one year for the horse tree.
That's right. And my husband is very interested in boating, so the year my house was on, we had lots of origami boats on the Christmas tree.
2 years ago, there was a young couple. Their tree was beautiful. They liked to scuba dive. So what the chairperson did actually was take actual photos from their vacation and painted their vacation photos onto glass ornaments. And then the husband of the couple was very interested in craft beer. So he started saving all of his different beer caps, and they molded them into stars, and they made wreaths out of the beer caps. And that's what I mean when I say that the committee really tries to reflect the interests of the homeowners in the decorations.
And several years ago, we had a cork village. Lots of little houses made out of corks with the corks cut in small pieces to do the shingles on the roofs of the houses.
Okay. So it sounds like if you've only got 150, 15% of the tickets left, and you still got 2 or 3 weeks to go, it must sell out.
Well, that's what we're hoping for this year. We do not sell out every year, but because the Friday night tour is already sold out and we're really on a track to sell out, we certainly hope that we do, because, of course, after all this work, we do want to maximize our donation to the Medical Center Foundation and our community partners.
So if somebody wanted to do Friday night next year, this would probably be the time to
buy tickets. Sure. What do you think, Don? We're going to open sales right now for Friday 2019.
There you go, because I'm thinking out loud, this is like a fun thing to do, and it's not all that much money.
Oh, it's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And both tours are beautiful. They're different in that you see it during the day or at night, but they're both wonderful.
So there's a red tour and a green tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about the red tour. What towns will the red tour see?
Well, it's just a way, it's kind of a housekeeping note, red tour and green tour. You get to see all the houses.
Okay.
But it just figure eights back to the church. So when you purchase a ticket, you see everything. You go on the red tour and the green tour.
Okay.
So lots of times people will go on the red tour, stop at the church to have lunch, and then attend the green tour in the afternoon. It's a nice way to break up.
How many miles does it transverse? In?
Oh, geez.
Oh.
That's a question for the transportation chair. We don't know.
It varies from year to year.
But we do, you're going as far as Round Valley, which is the furthest point to the east, all the way over to near Pleasant Run Road on the west. So it kind of spans that.
Yeah.
So it's probably about... about 7 miles from the church to the furthest house out there.
It might be longer depending might be upon a little where longer. The house is. We have two houses in one house in Raritan Township, one house in Lebanon Township.
Okay.
So we do vary our route.
But we try to keep in mind that people don't want to spend a ton of time on the bus, so we try to keep it fairly tight.
So it must grow, too, as far as population of who comes to see it? I mean, you're doing 1,000 this year. Was there a point where it was only a couple of hundred?
Oh, well, in the beginning, people used to drive around in their own cars.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it was a couple of hundred people, and they would drive around. And then I'm not sure which year Reddington Township Police came to the Stanton Holly Trail Board and said, that can't happen again.
That must be funny. No,
that's when we started using the school buses to transport people.
Yeah. So I know getting on a school bus is like going back to the principal's office. Man, it takes you back. It's like, yeah, I used to do this every day. I know I went to talk to the principal of North when I was doing a project with the leadership program. And I said, I haven't been to the principal's office in 50 years. And he says, don't come back again. I think I was young enough to be my son. Interesting. The memories it brings back. And this is sort of going back to your roots or the roots of the county. It's a nice step backwards.
Well, like Amy said, she has memories from when she was 5.
Right.
One of my daughters stood next to a Christmas tree in her riding ornament when she was 4.
Wow.
In her riding outfit when she was 4. And so my children have lots of great memories. I have memories from when I worked with my mother. So it's a fun family endeavor.
So the Friday night tour is a school bus tour as well?
No, we use nicer luxury buses for the Friday night tour.
But you said it's about 150 people going there.
About 100.
100.
We have a few more than 100 this year.
Wow. And for every, how many people is there a monitor?
An ambassador.
An ambassador is a good name.
Every bus has an ambassador, so there's one ambassador for every 44 people on the bus. And then there's a host in each home, of every house to answer questions.
And are the spectators allowed to take pictures as they go through?
No pictures.
No pictures. Okay.
And that's really a security for the homeowner.
Yeah,
more
that's a good point.
Than we don't want anybody taking pictures of our decorations. It's to respect the homeowner's privacy because these are private homes.
Right. We get into that for real estate too, and then they say, well, if you really do a whole blueprint of the house, it makes it easy for somebody to break in.
And right. So we keep the addresses of the homeowners under wraps until the day of the tour. We don't have any personal photos out. We really try to respect their privacy.
And everyone has to go on the bus. They can't drive
correct
in their private automobiles.
Okay.
And on Friday night, everyone is assigned to a bus, and they stay with that bus
with
for
that
the tour.
Mm-hmm. Is there any handicap facility or people in wheelchairs or whatever?
It's very difficult because, again, these are private homes.
Right.
So it's not as if we can require them to come up to the ADA standards. You know, we certainly try to be as accommodating as we possibly can, but people just have to remember we're showing off private homes.
So going way back to when this started, whose idea was this?
There were 6 women.
Really?
Stanton Church members who thought that they would open their homes and charge a small fee.
And they were all local Stanton residents, so people walked or drove from house to house.
Got it. So it wasn't as long and elaborate as
no.
it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was more of a progressive dinner party without dinner.
Yes.
Interesting. I'm just thinking of all the things that go along with it. Thinking out loud, I think we're going to buy 2 tickets for the Friday for next year and just go do it.
Great. Well, this year you can come on Saturday.
That may be the case.
You could come on Saturday this year.
We're in Florida. We go to Florida Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
So I got to look at the calendar. So you always do it December 1st.
No. It's always the first Saturday
in December.
So in 2019, the Saturday tour will be December 6th. 2019 and December 7th, 2019. Okay. But this year it's December 1st of 2018.
The champagne tour is on November 30th.
This year.
Got it. We have a timeshare. I got to look. It doesn't sound like it's going to work, but you never know. Like last year, we had a hurricane in the Keys. We didn't go down, but we went somewhere else instead.
Speaking of Florida, we are running a raffle this year, and first prize is a week in a home near Orlando, about 10 minutes from Disney World, Universal, and a $750 travel voucher. That's first prize. Given by Clark Travel of Branchburg. And then second prize is a lovely sterling silver pendant given by Saunders Jewelry, one of our sponsors, with a chain. It's a sterling silver and diamond pendant. And then third prize was donated very graciously by Matt's Red Rooster, dinner at Matt's Red Rooster, and an overnight at Main Street Manor here in Flemington, bed and breakfast.
Well, those are pretty nice gifts.
So tickets are $10. You can see any Holly Trail member for a ticket, or tickets will be available the day of Holly Trail.
It's just a fundraising raffle.
Yes, just a fundraising raffle.
And the drawing will take place on Holly Trail Day at 3 o'clock.
Wonderful.
I guess, and the ticket's drawn by our minister, so it's definitely 100% on the up and up, right?
Sounds
right.
Like godly.
That's right.
Mission there. How big is your church? I've seen the building. I'm not even familiar with it. I mean, it's like it's there, but
it's there.
How big is your congregation?
We probably have about 200 members.
Okay. And when did it get founded? It must be old as well.
Oh,
1700s.
Okay. No, it was not the 1700s. I'm not exactly sure of the time, the exact time, but it broke off from the Reddington Reformed Church, and formed with the local people in Stanton.
Okay. And was there, I mean, like you talked about the Dutch and whatever, was it a nationality that...
It was originally a Dutch Reformed church.
Dutch Reformed. Mm-hmm. And was the area Dutch in general?
Yes.
I know it was peach farms, but I didn't know about the Dutch.
This area was settled primarily by the Dutch and the Germans.
Okay.
So you have the German Lutheran Church in Oldwick, which is one of the oldest churches in Hunterdon County, and then the Dutch Reformed churches in this area. As well.
What would be really interesting, we're going on Sunday, it must be the Sunday after your, no, it's next Sunday. There's a thing at the library about the town that disappeared overnight, which is how they built Round Valley.
Oh.
And all the time we were here, we always wondered how, I remember it got built in the 60s, but I don't remember anything more about it.
My great uncle grew up in Round Valley.
Really?
Oh, the people who had to leave there, it was so beautiful, they loved it.
So
he was heartbroken. He always talked about his home in the valley.
And pictures, and then up on Valley Crest, there are a lot of the houses that were down in Round Valley.
Yes, several years ago, we had one of those houses on the tour.
Okay.
Stephanie Stevens wrote an excellent book about it.
Just a history tour would be wonderful, you know.
Well, that's for the Historical Society. We're the holiday ladies.
Oh, okay. So I'll have the Historical Society on. That's all there is.
Lambertville does a wonderful historical tour.
Do they?
In Lambertville, yes.
We did.
And there's one in Flemington, too, I believe, done by the Historical Society.
I was on the 100 Helpline board for a couple of years, and we did Kroll. So we'd have an appetizer, then a dinner, then a dessert, and we did Lambertville. And one of the fellows that's down there, it turned out Marilyn worked at Rutgers, and one of his daughters was going to Rutgers Medical School. But it took him 20 minutes to read half of what he volunteered for. And the fellow is sitting right next to me. He's been on the show with me since. And I said, what do you do in your spare time? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in the first aid. He was in this, and he was in that, and the other thing. People are really into this county, especially the people that grew up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's our home.
Yeah, and the people like me have only been here 20 years. We're still newbies, but we love it here. You know, and I think a lot of people that come don't go anywhere. They fall in love with what.
Well, my family came before the Revolution. I'm a direct descendant of John Redding, for whom Reddington Township is named, and I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here.
In that name.
And I was dragged kicking and screaming when I was in high school. Very unhappy to be moving to that godforsaken place. And I've been here ever since.
And where was that high school at?
I went to 100 Central.
Okay. But when you were graduating?
Oh, I lived in Plainfield.
In Plainfield, which is not all that far. Yeah, I cover 100 and Somerset. So my office is actually in a Warren Watchung area. And it's interesting because the two counties, even though, as I say, where they meet, they're identical, but they're different the further apart you get. I mean, Somerset has got 325,000 people versus our 125, so they're almost triple our size at this point, and very diverse, very diverse. Mm-hmm. We just got into talks this morning about how the lower end of society tended to live where there was mass transportation, so they grew up in the towns that had trains in them, which was Bound Brook, the Plainfield, Somerville, Manville, Raritan. Now they're becoming luxury high-rise towns for the trains, for the same sake.
Right. Yes.
So I'm saying that if we have the ALICE program, which I'm sure you've heard of from the United Way, these people with limited income, and now we're building in the limited income areas successful developments. Maybe we just sit back and wait and it takes care of itself. I don't think that's the answer. But it's interesting how it goes full circle. So Hunterdon County, the one thing we had on Hunterdon Helpline was we had like 65 people that we called once a day just to see how they were doing. And they all got visited once or twice a week. And it was a lot of, you probably know, Linda Bryant, who does most of our senior programs. And they had a fee for her that Bob Wise did, and I understand he's retired at this point. Wish him the best. But it was amazing what she had put together for our seniors and how diverse our seniors out. And some of them are on large farms in their 90s, have outlived their kids, have now unfortunately outlived their money, and are still viral people and need help.
Well, that's one of the important things that Meals on Wheels does is that they drop in and they visit and they check up on the older people.
I had that for my dad, man. He lived in Metuchen. I lived in Sarahville, but there was a river in between us, so it was really like a half hour apart. And he'd call me anytime they saw Mr. Peters is a problem you should look into. And Meals on Wheels really served. So we got 1 minute left. What would you like to say that we haven't talked about?
Just please come to Holly Trail. We would love to have you.
We'd love to have you on the tour, and we'd love to have you volunteer if you'd like.
Neat. And the site again is?
Is stantonhollytrail.org, and we also have a Facebook page, Stanton Holly Trail, and you can look to either of those for updates and more information.
Great. I appreciate it. And it's Amy Cross.
Oh, don't make me mad. Amy Cross. No
okay.
R.
I gave you an R. Amy Cross. And Donna?
And Donna Morris.
Morris, that's easy as well. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it very much, and we'll have to do it again.
Great.
Well,
thank you
very much.
Okay.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You USA Radio News.
The most destructive fire in California history is also the deadliest. The so-called Camp Fire north of Sacramento and the Woolsey Fire near Los Angeles are keeping more than 8,000 firefighters very busy. Butte County Sheriff Corahona on what is being done to search for people that are still unaccounted for.
We brought in search and rescue teams, cadaver dogs, a whole host of resources to start.
Maryland asked a federal judge to bar Matthew Whitaker from serving as acting attorney general, the first in what many experts are saying will be a series of court challenges to his appointment. Today, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, was asked if he has any concerns regarding the acting AG and the Mueller probe.
It seems to me that the president's the chief executive, and the president said that he wasn't going to do that. Doesn't matter what Whitaker thinks. The president said it isn't going to be done.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM.